Hello and welcome to the Primary Care Respiratory Society podcast series. I'm Catherine Hickman, Executive Chair of PCRS. Each podcast you will hear insightful topics, interviews, experiences and conversations around a plethora of respiratory themes, as well as actionable tips and strategies for you to use in your day-to-day practices. Thank you for joining us and we hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hello and welcome to this Primary Care Respiratory Society podcast. Welcome to all of our members and to our non-members. We are very, very happy to have you here. My name is Ren Lawler, and I'm an advanced nurse practitioner and academic tutor in Southeast London. I'm the vice chair of the executive and the chair of the education committee, and I am absolutely delighted to be joined by Steve. Steve, do you want to say hi?
Hi, I'm Steve Holmes. I'm a general practitioner down in sunny Somerset most of the time, but I also work on the Primary Care Respiratory Society Conference Organising Committee and the Policy Group. So ready to go on something that's certainly not controversial.
Oh, and I was going to say, here we go. So vaping, e-cigarettes, electronic cigarettes, all of these different terminologies. We have these wonderful little colourful, sweet, tasting, smelling devices is how people tend to talk to me about them. So I think, how do we even start with this, Steve? How do we even start?
I guess probably, should we just push out the evidence first of all, which is worthwhile looking at? Evidence that I'm aware of is Public Health England, for people who smoke, have come out broadly in favour, but say, just be a little bit careful. The British Thoracic Society, Primary Care Respiratory Society, ERS, are much more cautious about the impact of vaping in the long run in the population. And as far as I'm aware, most of those organisations, including Public Health England, are concerned about vaping in younger people and try to avoid that.
Yes, absolutely. So I think one of the biggest issues when you look at sort of the media and when you look at any kind of articles and things like that that have been written in your newspapers and that kind of thing, not necessarily your academic journals, the focus does tend to be around children and the rise in vaping in children. And I think that we're caught really between a rock and a hard place here, because what we know is that as an aid for cessation of smoking, so we look at in our older populations, it can actually be a really helpful tool. And the reason it's helpful is because, yes, it's got nicotine in it. So, you know, we're thinking about nicotine dependency. And so we've got that replacement there as we know is very helpful. And it doesn't have all the particulate matter or the noxious substances that you would get in your tobacco. So all of the other stuff, basically, that is going to be problematic. And so from that point of view, you can take almost a little bit of a positive stance around vaping and e-cigarettes and go, okay, this maybe isn't a bad idea. The difficulty, I think, is on the other side there of the fence is this increase in younger people. So even as young as 11, 12, if you look at the data, have been starting to vape because it's on trend. The problem, of course, is that what occurs with that is you are putting nicotine into someone who's never smoked, who's never had nicotine. And, you know, I suppose the concern is, are we then starting an addiction to a product that may not have happened otherwise? And that, I realise, is a controversial statement. So I want to know your thoughts about that, Steve.
Yeah, I think I'm probably agreeing with you. I think, number one, we know that smoke has carcinogens in thrombotic type chemicals, and that's part of the reasons why we see the outcomes with cancers and vascular disease. We know that at the moment, I believe you're not allowed to advertise to young people under 18 for vaping. Mm. But when did young people ever look at the adverts that were designed for them, apart from My Pretty Pony and that sort of thing, when they're 5 or 6? Once they get into a more influenceable age, they're looking at all sorts of other adult things, and it's a lot of peer pressure that's moving them that way. And I guess that may be part of our vulnerability, is this is a society where we need to understand and work out how to influence much better than we are at the moment.
I agree. I think advertising is I mean, the power of advertising we know is phenomenal. So I'm of an age now, but I remember, and I would have been less than 10 because I remember what house we were living in and we moved when I was 10 years old. But I still remember in the Sunday magazines or whatever, the newspapers, the Silk Cut adverts. Do you not remember?
I don't remember.
But it stuck in my head. So these were adverts for cigarettes. The Marlboro Man, all of those kind of things. So we as humans are very influenced by advertising. And although vapes aren't being advertised on TV and things like that, if you go into a shop now, they're all behind the counter, all lovely bright colours, flavours. You know, the fruit flavours, blueberry, watermelon. All of these kind of flavors and things. And so, you know, what do we know about kids? We know that they like bright colors. We know that they like trends. They like fashion. And we know that they like sweets, like sweet flavors, as opposed to that kind of savory stuff. And so it almost feels a little bit like they're now being marketed and advertised to a particular group. And I feel that that's perhaps where the danger might lie. And of course, we don't know the longitudinal kind of potential effects as it stands of vaping. And although we've kind of regulated them as a product in the UK, people are buying them bulk online. And I say people, but teenagers and things are buying them bulk online, where they come from countries that have different regulations to us. And so you don't know what the nicotine content is. You don't know what the temperature of the heating coil inside them is going to get to. And I think that's probably where my concern lies a little bit.
Yeah. And we are seeing bits of science coming out highlighting the fact that very high temperature air going into the lungs is not what our lungs are, you know, suited for. They're not what they're designed for. And there are going to be inevitable consequences of that in the long run. Mm. I think the other thing I saw was just before the COVID pandemic, we saw an outbreak of a few hundred deaths in America from lipoid pneumonia. And that was made from people producing their own cannabis oils to put into vaping machines. And once they found out that, it stopped very quickly. But it was a real issue at the time as that started to go up. One of the things that perhaps I can get people to think about is, what do we say to people coming in, especially young people who are thinking about vaping? And the reason I'm saying that, and I don't know the answer, so Ren, if you've got the answer, that'd be brilliant. I did some work on contraception and trying to encourage younger people to move forward to get contraception and support for that. And this was at a national level. There was a lot of investment going in from the government. And one of the amazing things at the end was, all the media people, all the advertisers, all the academics said, do not let healthcare professionals know the addresses, the websites that these adolescents can go to. Because once an old, wrinkly man like me tells a young person what they should be doing, it's ignored. Mm. And so actually it was the whole of the workforce was consciously not informed about this really great website because it had to be found by that group of people. What is the impact of us when we go and chat to our adolescent patients? Does it make them even more resistant?
I'm not sure. To be honest with you, I'm not sure. I think as adults, we underestimate our youth sometimes. And I think that there is, I think the difficulty with this is, for me, it's not even necessarily the vaping at the moment. And the reason I say that is because we don't have the evidence of how bad it's going to be and all that kind of stuff. What concerns me with vaping in young people is the nicotine content, because that's going to be the thing that's going to get hold of them and want them to keep doing it. And so I think it's very difficult to say to any teenager whatsoever, don't do that. But what we can do is think about harm reduction. And what we can do is think about, if you're going to do it, this is a safer way of doing it. So a really good example that I tend to think about is whenever I see, or when I used to see, patients for sort of travel health, for example, and they're 18 years old, they're coming in, they're off to Thailand, Cambodia, Laos, you know, they're doing the usual kind of gap year stuff. And they come in and they come in for their typhoid and their hepatitis A. And what we know is that the chances of them dying or becoming unwell with typhoid or hepatitis A is very, very slim. The chances of them dying in a road traffic accident or from alcohol poisoning or from drowning is very, very high. And so there's no point saying to these kids, you know, don't go to a beach party and don't drink too much and don't do this, that and the other. What you have to say to them is, you're going to do this, but this is the safer way of doing it. And I think that's probably the stance that we need to take with young people with vaping. If you're going to vape, okay. We don't think it's the best idea, but if you're going to do it, maybe look at getting ones without nicotine in, just to try and make it easier when they come to a point that they want to stop, that they don't suddenly think, I actually can't. And that's what we see with smoking.
So it's going to be a long-term battle.
Absolutely.
There is a lot of issues coming through with vaping and potential consequences in the long run. People are still looking into that at the moment. It may be better to encourage hardened cigarette smokers to convert at the current time, but certainly we should be trying to avoid others taking up the nicotine addiction channel.
Absolutely. Fantastic. I think that we have reached our time on this one, Steve, but as PCRS, we do have podcasts around very brief advice. We've got podcasts around, you know, top tips to help people stop smoking. Some of these are for members only. So we would really encourage you to consider membership, to sign up, get lots of access to other podcasts that really, really small side of sound bites you can listen to in the car on the way to work that gives really, really helpful advice if you're dealing with patients with respiratory disease. So I would certainly sort of encourage you to consider that as an option.
Great idea. I'll sign up straight away again.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Thank you, Brett.
See you all again soon.
Thank you for listening. If you know somebody that may be interested in this podcast that is yet to become a member of PCRS, please direct them to the PCRS website and take the first step into inspiring more respiratory leaders.